Welcome to our April Microsoft Teams news show. I'm Rob Scott, and today I'm joined by Tom Arbuthnot from Empowering Cloud, and together we're going to be diving into the latest announcements in the Teams space. We're also joined by our distinguished panel of Teams experts, so a very warm welcome to everybody, and thanks for joining us. And Tom, how's it going at your end?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we're hot off the back of Enterprise Connect. I know you were there as well. So it's a little bit of a break before back out to the US for ComsV Next in a couple of weeks. But there's an absolute avalanche of news out of the back of Enterprise Connect. So plenty to talk about this month.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just from Microsoft, but obviously from the wider Teams ecosystem coming out of Enterprise Connect. But there is one big bit of news that I just wanted to dive into a little bit, Tom, and that's the decoupling of Teams and Office worldwide. Take us through that.
Yeah, this is interesting. We covered this a little while ago for inside the EU. So it's Microsoft giving customers the option to buy Office 365 or Microsoft 365 without Teams for a lesser cost, and add on Teams if they want to, essentially, so they can existing customers can either stay as they are or they can debundle Teams and pay a reduced cost. And that was initially limited to within the EU, and now it's gone worldwide. So I think this is Microsoft just, you know, they've already created the SKUs, they've already got the option. If we offer it globally, it's seen as, you know, more kind of competitive within the market to give other people opportunities. So I think they're just heading off any regulatory potential there by trying to say, look, it's not just in the EU, it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And I think that's a smart move for Microsoft on that one. So,
yeah, well, definitely. There's definitely some pressure there. So, you know, giving it worldwide means that if the, you know, FTC or anybody else gets involved, then it's already out there now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it will cut down the legal costs as well. So, anyways, let's talk about Enterprise Connect. Lots of news came out of the event. First up, we said we talked about the Qs app. Tell us more.
Yeah, it was hard to decide what to pick first as kind of the most impactful Teams use. And obviously, there was a bunch of Copilot and AI news, which we will talk about. But I think this is arguably one of the bigger announcements from Microsoft. So they're offering a Qs app, they call it, which is around customer engagement. Very deliberately not using the phrase contact center, but it is an advancement of auto attendance and call queues and reporting and managing, you know, customer experience through calls, kind of aka contact center lite, part of Teams Premium summer 2024 release. And that definitely was the talk of the show, as in what can it do, what can't it do, where do you still step up to an ecosystem contact center or you know, the big Dynamics contact center or one of the third parties. But I think great for customers to have an opportunity to have a slightly more advanced call queues and auto attendance in the box.
Very nice. And I presume it doesn't really matter which provider you're using. You can use Microsoft's own calling plans, or you could be using a third party via, say, Operator Connect or direct, you know, routing. Qs app's going to be available as long as you've got that premium license, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So it's essentially an advancement of what's in the box today with call queues and auto attendance. So yeah, you can bring any calling plan you prefer, either Microsoft or third party. And it just gives a more advanced experience for both the users and also for a kind of a supervisor type scenario.
Good stuff. Well, another Teams phone update that was very important, I suppose, to a lot of us is the service level agreement. It's moved up, I believe.
Yeah, it has. So it's gone to 5.9, so 99.999% uptime. And this is for Teams phone as a service, also calling plans, call queues and auto attendance, and the kind of overall, you know, phone service. So that means that Microsoft are guaranteeing with a financially backed SLA that core service, so not the whole of Teams, but that core service will stay up and available. And if it doesn't for 5.9s, they will give a financial kind of give back based on minutes of downtime beyond that SLA.
How important was that upgrade, I suppose, to the SLA, Tom?
It's quite a big one from an industry perspective, because it's one of those last things that like people could take shots at, and there are other cloud services that do push a 5.9 SLA, so they could certainly say we're, you know, we offer a higher SLA than Microsoft. Now Microsoft are matching that SLA. I mean, it's important to understand it's not the full team service. It is just a phone element, but it's definitely a big step forward in terms of a combination of Microsoft's confidence in the service based on their SLA over the previous kind of 12, 24 months, and also some work they've done on the back end to kind of strengthen their commitment to put a financially backed SLA behind it.
Yeah, if I can just chime in, I think it's a great marketing move to your point, Tom. Like it's, I think in the real world, it makes no difference. Like, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, if it's down for a few minutes and the money you're going to get back is probably not worth the trouble of filling out the paperwork to get it back from 4.9s to 5.9s. But to your point, Tom, I think it is a great marketing move because then you get the checkbox when, you know, compared to maybe another service that somebody's considering.
Interesting marketing move. I also saw RingCentral announce 6.9s at enterprise.
That's interesting. That's the ongoing battle, right? It's like, you know, that's why you can never win, right? So it is a marketing, you know, the difference. I haven't done the math, the difference between 5.9s and 6.9s. I mean, I don't know. Somebody that's quick with math, we should calculate that.
Absolutely. Well, moving on, but keeping with the theme of resilience, survivable branch appliance enhancements, Tom, we've got a few bits here, I believe.
Yeah, so survivable branch appliance is a niche use case, but it's a box you can have on site to continue telephony going in the event that your internet connectivity goes down. So local box, local breakout. And it actually got some attention and some love. So additional features coming in are the ability for users to do individual call transfers or call forwards, and also to reroute calls that are due to go to a call queue or auto attendant to go to an alternate call queue or auto attendant. So to kind of redirect those calls or redirect them to a user on site. And with audio code specifically having a local on-site SIP gateway resiliency so that SIP devices can fall back from the cloud service to a local service. Still the challenge with survivable branch appliance being that 24-hour authentication token and variable length of time that authentication token is valid, that hasn't changed. But from a capabilities point of view, definitely an improvement in what you get if there was an internet downtime.
Yeah, I think I'll weigh in as the naysayer on this episode. But I think, you know, like if you had to prioritize from the dev group, it's like that token expiration, you know, they say, you know, once again, it's 24 hours in the best case, right? It could be substantially less. So, yeah. You know, a survivable branch appliance that might only survive for, you know, 4 hours or whatever. I think that's, you know, fundamentally something that needs to be addressed. And then I haven't, you know, dove deep on the details here, but I think in some of the survivable modes, you can't necessarily do the dial by name, as far as I understand, in certain scenarios. And so unless, you know, I don't even know my kids' phone numbers, right? You know, because, you know, you just click their name on your phone or whatever. So I think, you know, organizations, this is good that it's improving and got some love, as you said, Tom, but I think you really need to look at this and figure out, you know, if it's covering off, you know, these disaster situations in the way that you expect.
Yeah, agreed. I'd pitch it as like, you know, internet blips for workers as opposed to I'm a hospital and the phones can't go down. Like it's still not at that level.
Great point.
Good. Well, finally on the Teams phone front, before we jump into devices, let's talk about the Teams phone mobile operators, Tom. That list is getting bigger. It's certainly a trend we're seeing, you know, increasing in popularity right now. You know, mobility, you know, empowering that kind of mobile workforce, but Teams Phone Mobile seems to be on the up. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It hasn't gone as fast as I anticipated it would. And, you know, mobile operators seem to just take a long time to get these things enabled and into their field. But we got an announcement of 4 new operators coming in 2024. And it's particularly interesting because we've got AT&T as the second operator in the US. So they'll be joining Verizon. So that means there'll be 2 operators. So that'll be a competitive market. ODDO in the Netherlands and in the UK, both VMO2 and Vodafone. So UK, we might be the first market with 3 different providers, all providing Teams Phone Mobile. And I think that's when we'll start to see some competitiveness between the providers of trying to snap those seats up. Also, very interestingly, AT&T, I spent some time with them at the show. They're going to offer Teams Phone Mobile in their business plans at no additional per user cost. So up to now, all the providers on the program, which is Rogers, BT, Swisscom, Deutsche Telekom, Talia and Verizon, have all charged an extra price for the benefit of having Teams Phone Mobile. They'll be the first operator to not charge that in their business plan. So again, I think that will help with adoption. If you get, essentially, you buy a business mobile and you get a SIP trunk for free included in that business mobile, it's a very different proposition.
Super. Let's talk Teams Phone devices then, Tom. We've got a few updates here. I know Graham's going to chime in on some of these, but why don't you kick off and take us through some of those announcements?
Yeah, it seems like, again, Teams Phone, physical phone devices got some love here. So we saw some new UI improvements and we saw some manageability improvements as well. Maybe Graham, it would be better to dive into the detail of the new features actually.
Sure. So what was announced at Enterprise Connect was, again, a lot of, let's call them handsets out there, want some basic functionality. So they don't have the fastest chipsets in there. So having a big bloatware Teams application on the devices, what Microsoft have done is slim down the application so it runs faster, better, quicker on these low-powered handsets. So that makes it, you know, easier for everyone to just quickly dial someone. Another big one that's been requested for a long time is remote management of contacts. So without having to go into an account, log in, add 10 favorites, this can all now be done from TAC. So you can push out devices, and when they plug them in, sign in, it's got their favorite lists on there as well. So that's another thing with Teams Admin Center. And also, they've improved configuration profiles for devices. So this is for Teams displays. So that category there, where you can actually configure a lot more things now in there, like your virtual front desk. Pre-configure that so when it gets signed in, it has the right call queue or auto attendant to connect to as well. So big improvements there on the management side of things, especially for rolling phones out.
Yeah, that on-device contacts one is interesting as well, isn't it? That's something that you hear outside of the knowledge worker is we want to have some predetermined contact numbers on that phone ready to go, and being able to remotely set those definitely for things like, you know, common area phones or frontline worker is a key use case. So nice to see that come along.
Superb. Tom, how about we jump on to meetings and rooms next rather than, I think we were going to talk about Copilot, but maybe we'll bump that to the end. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, let's do rooms. The Copilot was definitely the thing as far as the keynote went, so maybe we should give some time to talk about that. But yeah, let's talk about rooms. Actually, top of rooms, I want to get Josh's thoughts on this because he's closest to it, is the Microsoft Devices Ecosystem Platform officially got RTM'd.
Yeah, I mean, and they're a good move switching Copilot to the end because everyone's going to stick around for Copilot. So yeah, that there you go. Microsoft Devices Ecosystem Platform, after you spend the 30 seconds that it takes to say that, you realize let's just go with the acronym and say MDEP. So that's what everyone is kind of starting to gravitate toward is MDEP. And kind of this was announced last year. So Microsoft is now stating, hey, we're at the point now where this operating system, this Android-based operating system for your room systems from Microsoft, which is the shock and awe part of what this is, was announced last year, right? This is actually now being released to the manufacturer side. That's why it's got that RTM designation there. First manufacturer up to bat is Jabra. We've been working, you know, Jabra's been working alongside Microsoft on this for quite some time. Again, the announcement came out earlier last year. And so that will be the first place that you'll be able to see MDEP if you're getting ready to kick the tires. And following that, they made the announcement here, which was a little bit of news, was that Yealink will be right behind on that as well. So, and then I imagine as we continue to watch this unfold, other OEMs are gonna say in some shape or form.
Yeah, talking to some of the other OEMs, I think it's coming as well. I think Crestron have a plan for it. So it'll be interesting to see that right. It's going to be really interesting this year to see who adopts it, who doesn't, what are the real world benefits, do customers understand it, and will they pull it through potentially?
Yeah, they didn't address it too much on stage, right? But they put out about three different blogs talking about the ins and outs of this. And as you know, Ilya joined you on that fireside chat a while back, Tom, there's a whole lot of flexibility and choice that he painted in that picture. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out in each OEM. For the event itself, Enterprise Connect, and the announced timing of this announcement, the call to action there was, if you were interested in getting started in the near term future, the Jabra was providing a QR code for people to get signed up and engage in next steps. And I believe Yealink is targeting a little later in the year for theirs. So that's kind of where MDEP stands. If this has been something that caught people's attention much earlier, if they were held up on, hey, our company doesn't like having to do these third-party security assessments of another Android operating system from another, trusting Microsoft to be that OS developer is a big step for a lot of them. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see how it unfolds, to see how many people this really makes a difference for. I know there's a lot that have been interested in Android, but have resisted due to that specific security consideration. So this may solve that for a lot of organizations.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, keeping a close eye on that and looking forward to testing out on the various platforms.
Yeah. Super. And moving on to something else we don't talk about very often, but it's AV1 in Microsoft Teams, Tom. And there's been a bit of an enhancement there too.
Yeah, it's funny. This didn't get any airtime at Enterprise Connect as far as keynotes or sessions go, but actually it's quite a nice addition. So it was actually added to the roadmap months ago, but it was added as a miscellaneous make sharing frame rates faster. I didn't say anything about AV1, but now we've publicly found out that Microsoft's adding AV1 for sharing. So that means lower bandwidth, higher frame rates for the bandwidth as well, for screen sharing. So it should be a much improved experience. And that's rolling out around May time.
And just on that one, it's actually only desktops, laptops, etc. devices that will have this technology. It won't be rolled out to room systems as yet. I'm not sure about mobile either. It's mainly the desktop clients that are getting this, and I'm guessing obviously in the new Teams 2.1 client.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, won't it? Because if that's in the new Teams client, then potentially that will be the new Teams client is going to be the new Rooms client eventually. Maybe it comes through, but as you say, it's there. We've got to wait and see on both mobile and Rooms.
Well, let's move on. One update that was just following on from these Rooms updates, Tom, was automatic camera switching for IntelliFrame. Do you want to take us through that one?
Yeah, this was interesting, actually. And again, this got kind of flighted as an idea a long time ago, but it's the ability in IntelliFrame, which is kind of Microsoft's catch-all name for their AI framing and direction, to bring laptop cameras into the mix. So if you choose to bring a laptop into a meeting room and you enable your camera, the IntelliFrame will be able to choose which picture of you is best, either at front of room camera or the laptop camera, and dynamically make a decision between those, which is interesting.
That is, that's kind of a big deal, because a lot of people bring their laptop in with them, and so many of them have joined the meeting from within that room. So it's one thing to have a system in the room that's got multiple cameras, but then to be able to leverage the other devices like that in the room for that video angle, I think it's going to be a very interesting and welcome thing. They'll just kind of have to maybe add in some filters for the up nose hair shots that they get from those angles.
Yeah, but, yeah. You have to know what you're doing and remember you're on a very close camera as well. But yeah, it's.
But I think it is, to your point, Josh, I think it's a great idea because, just from a user perspective, like I love the demos of these fantastic AI-driven multi-camera rooms. I think, the vendors love them because you got to buy lots of cameras. And I think it makes great sense in a boardroom or a classroom or something. But I think for, these smaller rooms, users already know how to use the meeting interface with the chat, with their camera when they're remote. So I think, from my perspective, to be able to walk into a meeting room and just use the same tools that you're already familiar with, and to be able to then fully participate in the chat and the emoticons and be able to look up stuff. We talk about meeting equity. Well, having, the ability to look up stuff during a meeting, I think you lose that if you're just, you're in a meeting room with just a big MTR, right? So I think that there are many use cases that this makes a lot of sense for.
Good stuff. And talking about multi-camera view, Tom, there's a whole bunch of updates as well around that particular topic as well. Tell us more.
Yeah, so kind of the other side of the fence. So the remote participants will now be able to toggle between views of the room they want to see. So they can toggle between a stage view, an audience view, like fixed frame, different frames. So again, just kind of acknowledging that remote participants may want different views depending on the meeting scenario, and being able to dynamically toggle and make the most of those single camera or multi-camera scenarios.
Yeah, I think with certainly the Microsoft Teams rooms on Windows been able to support multiple cameras for a while. Previously, someone in the room would have to change it and say, "Okay, let's go to audience view, etc." Now this is giving the remote people that view and capability to do that within the Teams client, so making that them select which view they want to get a better perspective of who's talking.
Yeah, it's nice, I think. And then also we saw the expansion of, which I think we've talked about before, kind of a bit of a re-announcement, but speaker recognition and transcription coming to all types of speakers, not just the intelligent speakers, and to BYOD rooms as well, and to Teams rooms on Android later in the year as well. So rounding out those AI capabilities to both BYOD and Android as well.
So, yeah, what happened there was previously you'd have a specialized speaker puck that would have, a certain number of channels that would then decrypt the audio and know that Tom said it, that Rob said it, etc. Now what Microsoft are able to do is take, let's take a single cable, single stream audio, and then identify who's speaking in that stream. So it's a cross-platform, cross-BYOD, so really any meeting space will get the benefit now of Teams Premium, Teams Copilot for that speaker attribution.
Yeah, and that's, provided that you've enrolled your voice, right? You have to go through the enrollment process. I mean, people are raising issues, and I think these are good questions around, okay, where is that biometric data stored? Of course, a lot of times people start asking in the EU first because of the different regulations. Those are good questions to ask and make sure for your organization that the answers align with what your, people would like it to be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Microsoft, I didn't pick it out because we've talked about it previously on the show, but Microsoft GA'd the voice isolation at the show. And part of that is enrolling your voice. And I think we'll see a lot of enrollments because that's a personal benefit. They'll want an improved experience, and therefore we'll get the voice signature for the intelligent speakers. But you're 100% right, Kevin. And I've had some conversations with customers already about where is it stored, how long is it stored for, who has access to it, all those good questions. So yeah, we'll be going through that in some detail, I expect.
Yeah, but I think it is, you bring up the point, Tom, and I think this is brilliant on Microsoft to use it for both the voice isolation and then the attribution in a meeting, which of course is critical when we talk about the Copilot features in a meeting, because just to have everybody in a room be attributed to the room is not particularly helpful for your Gen AI meeting recap.
Yeah, definitely. And then last two on rooms, we got the, again, we've talked about them on the show. Some of this is kind of re-announcement, but ultrasound proximity join, which is the room making a high-pitched sound to know if you're in the room that you can join. So rather than just relying on Bluetooth, you can have an inaudible to human sound to help you locate the right room system. And QR code join, which I'm actually really looking forward to. I think it's just such an easy and simple way to join a meeting, be able to hold your phone camera up to the room and have the room join the right meeting is really nice. And then on stage, they showed a live Windows autopilot deployment of a Teams room as well. So just re-emphasizing that bringing those Microsoft Teams rooms on Windows deployment times down and automating them was another big theme of helping get rooms out there.
Yeah, I think it was like 13 minutes. And it is important. When they did that, I had about like 50% of the people thought they were just rebooting the device and they thought it was a bit of a joke, right? So I think if you watch the keynote, understand that was, an out of the box, entirely provisioned. It wasn't just, it didn't take 13 minutes to reboot an MTR, right?
So. Yeah, I think they assumed a lot of knowledge, which the hardcore Microsoft people in the audience got, but they could have really done with literally lifting one out of a box and being like, this got shipped, we're plugging it in, off we go.
Right.
I think you're right. It didn't, I heard a lot of conversations afterwards of people going, well, what was that? Why did it take 13 minutes to boot up? It's like, well, no, remotely imaged, remotely configured, and was ready to go. Like, that's the demo.
Good stuff. There was some confusion around about that, what was happening on stage Enterprise last week.
Definitely.
But anyways, moving on to what everyone's talking about. And if you were at Enterprise Connect last week, it was on every booth within the expo hall. It was within every session and every conversation everyone had.
Well, they've even got a dedicated show going for AI, haven't they, later in the year as well? So
it was
absolutely, yeah. Enterprise AI, I think it was called.
I think it's like Enterprise Connect AI. I think it's October 1st and 2nd in Santa Clara, I believe. So
I'm curious with that show, what isn't AI? So what is that show? Is it just all technology, basically?
I think it'll be interesting. I don't believe that there's more information yet or a website or maybe soon, but I think we're all wondering about that because certainly Enterprise Connect in Orlando was, as both of you have said, it was all about AI.
They're waiting for the AI to write the description for the website.
yeah, that's it.
Well, there was a few Copilot updates from Microsoft. Tom, do you want to take us through those? I think Kevin's going to weigh in on this one.
Yeah, definitely. I'll take the first one, and then I'd love Kevin's opinion on some of them as well. The intelligent recap for calls was the big one on the Teams phone side. So we've got intelligent recap for meetings today, but this will be the same capability for your both VoIP and PSTN phone calls. So same concept. You hit the Copilot button, it will transcribe the call, and it will give you a summary, both that you can interrogate in real time, but also that critically you can go to after the phone call. So it's a funny one because I didn't even really consciously think about this experience as being, you know, missing, but now actually it makes perfect sense that when you do a PSDN call, you obviously want that same AI capability. So that will be part of Teams Premium and or Copilot.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, I did two sessions at Enterprise Connect. One was Teams and Copilot, and another looked at all the AI assistants across all the other vendors as well as Copilot. And I think doing that, you know, the devil and the angels is in the details. So with this, I think it's important to understand. Yeah. So you hit transcribe. It does alert anybody else on the call that the call is being transcribed. So that's, you know, I think a good thing. And then, you know, in your call list, you get this little Copilot button and a little, another icon that you can look at the transcript, or you can, as you say, you can query, you can ask questions about the call. And I think it's important, both in the meeting recap and these call recaps, to understand what Copilot is looking at when it's answering the question. So in the case of the calls, it's looking at only the transcript, right? So there is no, you know, this concept of grounding means it uses other information to kind of help answer. So there's this concept you can turn on web grounding in certain contexts of Copilot. And we should say to the audience, we're talking about specifically Copilot for Microsoft 365, because I think I counted 11 different Copilot SKUs. So this is Copilot for Microsoft 365. Or you get this in, you know, this call recap as well. You get this with Teams Premium, but it's unclear that you could query it after, right? Because the intelligent meeting recap with Teams Premium doesn't really include the Copilot ability to query it. So I think that
you're right. That's the line. You'll get the generated recap if you've got Teams Premium. You'll be able to interrogate the transcript if you have Copilot. So the intelligent recap is part of Premium. Good clarification.
Yeah. So there's lots of details here, and I think it's important to know that. So you know, with the call, you know, it's all based on the transcript, nothing else. So if you didn't say it in the transcript, it doesn't know it. You know, they've made enhancements as well, and expect this is going to happen, you know, week over week, month over month, to the meeting recap. The meeting recap looks at the transcript, but now it's also looking at the chat. So, you know, in a lot of meetings, somebody might ask a question or say something, and somebody may weigh in on the chat and provide additional information or a clarification. Now in your meeting recaps for, you know, for meetings, it will look at both the transcript and the chat. But with both the call summary and the meeting summary, one of the things to be aware of is you can go back now and, you know, intelligent meeting recap is available on your mobile. So you can look at meetings that happened and you can look at the recap, but those generative AI recaps, they're not editable. So this, I think, you know, Microsoft has to fix this, right? Because, if you go in and you notice that there's an error, this artifact for the meeting hangs around. So let's say I go and we had a meeting last week. I go look it up on my mobile. It's great that you can access the recap. But if there's something wrong, it's there forever and you can't edit it at this point. You can go edit the transcript and fix that, but it doesn't matter because the recap is kind of at a fixed point in time. And most of the time, it can be magical and it does a lovely job. But when it gets it wrong, I think we have to figure out how to educate users so that they understand how to use all this wonderful Gen AI capabilities most effectively. And I think another, announcement was they've enhanced, Copilot Compose. So this is the idea that when you're writing a chat, whether it's a chat or a Teams chat, you can write some words and then you can click on the Copilot icon. It gives you a couple of examples, do you want to, make it more concise or longer or more enthusiastic? But the thing that I like is that you can click on the customize, because there, even in Microsoft, in their marketing copy says, you can ask Copilot to make it sound like a pirate. I love that they pulled that in there in their blog.
These really key business use cases.
For, yes, exactly. Or add a joke about something. But, I think that's the thing. You click on customize and then you can ask Copilot to rewrite your chat message. And I think it demos really well. I think, in the real world, I'm unclear how often people are going to say, make a poem out of this, this chat message.
Having used it for a few months now, I'm way more bullish on the things like summarizing data than generating. Like, I feel like it will get better over time for sure. But at the moment, the generations are very generic. You can sort of tell it. And I think part of Microsoft's strategy is to start to get it to tune to sound more like you, which will get better. But it's nice to see those, they keep revving the level of customization there.
Yeah, so I think we've covered off all the kind of new announcements. It's a bit of a moving target, right? Because there's all these announcements that are both announced and then, some of these are rolling out. Some of them are available now. Some are rolling out in April, May timeframe. And then it depends on the tenant and your geography to some degree. So, but it is definitely coming soon.
Yeah. I think it was just telling, as we said at the top of the show, like how much of the keynote was dedicated to AI and Copilot at what was traditionally the Unified Communications show. Like there were definitely, and there were even some, things like the detail in that Survival Branch appliance, and like they got very little airtime in the keynote because all the focus was on AI, and not just from Microsoft, as Rob said, but other vendors as well. So I'm really interested to see, now we've had Enterprise Connect, we've got the AI show later in the year, like, is this the sustained, kind of theme of the industry for the rest of the year, and where does it actually land with users at scale?
Well, here's another thought. Are you going to change your platform based on the AI capabilities? I pretty much doubt it.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting because Brent Kelly and I did this LLM session where we looked at all the different, Zoom AI Companion, mm-hmm. WebEx AI Assistant, and Google Gemini and Copilot. And we really didn't want to make it about comparing because, the truth is you probably have a platform. And really the key thing is understand, in the case of Copilot for Microsoft 365, what it does well and what it, still needs to improve, and then leverage it to the best possible ability, yeah. Right?
Superb. Well, for anyone interested in keeping up to date, you can obviously tune in to our show on a monthly basis, but you can also visit some of these events in person, which we've got some great events coming up. Tom, should we run through the events for the for the quarter?
Let's do it. I think the next online event, the next in-person event will be ComsV Next. So looking forward to that. That is from April 23rd in Denver. I'm doing a session there on sort of off the back of what Kevin did at Enterprise Connect. All the co-pilots, the SKUs, the pricing, the use cases. It feels like a constantly moving target, but looking forward to that. But more generally, that show is focused on the kind of Teams element of Microsoft 365. So that'll be a really good one.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Microsoft 365 conference. That's in April.
Yeah, that's a really big one. That's a community conference, actually, you know, Microsoft's big 365 conference for the year. So we can expect some definite announcements around that. So next show, we'll fill you in on all the announcements there.
Yeah, I think that's, sorry, April 30th, May 1st and 2nd, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
Good stuff. Next, we've got Teams Fireside Chat, 9th of May.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to him. We've got Kevin Peters again. So he looks after Teams Phone at Microsoft. And off the back of all the Enterprise Connect announcements, he's going to take us through the detail of what those mean and what the options are and just generally get us deep into Teams Phone. So that is May 9th online.
Yeah. And in June, on the 26th and 27th, we've got Comsverse in the UK back for another year. So looking forward to that in-person event, Tom.
Yeah, I hear the tickets are already flying for that one, and all the usual vendors will be there as well. So I think we had over 550 people last time, which is a big for a UK show. And again, a big focus on Microsoft Teams there and the heritage of Teams. So looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so lots of opportunities to connect and to learn more about Microsoft Teams. Last reminder, Microsoft Ignite is back. It's in Chicago this year and it is online and it's November 18th to the 22nd. So we'll put a link in the description to that as well. Well, I suppose that, Tom, that's it from us for another month. If you want to hear more from us, please subscribe. If you want to join the conversation, you can connect with all of us, Tom, myself and our guest speakers on LinkedIn. And most of us are on X as well. And our social links will be in the description too. So thanks, Tom. Thanks to our speakers. And thanks to everyone for joining in. And we'll be back again next month with another drop of essential Microsoft Teams news. Thanks for watching.